This is So You Think You Know Jesus, a podcast that will challenge Christian paradigms, uproot traditions of man, and in the end, energize your faith by grounding you in solid biblical truths as you learn to see Scripture through the eyes of the Jewish Messiah, Yeshua. Welcome, author and speaker Rabbi Jeff Grillo of the Rock of Israel Congregation in North Carolina, a Messianic synagogue that is part of the National Jewish Fellowship of the Assemblies of God. Now, Rabbi Jeff.
Shalom and welcome one and all to the So You Think You Know Jesus podcast, a ministry outreach of the Rock of Israel congregation in Hickory, North Carolina, and Statesville, North Carolina, and well, God's on the move. We'll just leave it at that. But today we are going to be looking at one of my favorite teachings, one of the earlier ones that Rabbi Cliff taught me. We're going to share it with you now. And it kind of plays into the idea from a student of the word perspective, where you got to ask the question, why is God telling me this? Anytime you see names are just not just names. Places are not just places. We have to look and dig in and find out what do those words mean in the Hebrew? What do the numbers mean? Why is God telling me there's 600 chariots? Why is he telling me that Saul had 3,000 men? Why are we told, that the ark landed on Ararat's mountain on the 17th day of the seventh month? Why do we need to know that? And we have to understand what the sage Maimonides had said, that nothing in Torah, and I'll extend it to include the entire Word of God, nothing in the Word of God is superfluous. Everything has meaning, right down to what appears to be the most mundane of facts. Today is one of those things, and maybe you've wondered the same thing yourself, and what I'm talking about comes from John chapter 21. When, Yeshua is on the shore and he's grilling some fish and the disciples are out fishing and they're, dejected and, Messiah had been crucified and now here we are. They were out all night, if I'm recalling the account correctly, and nothing. And yet they see Yeshua about 100 yards away, whatever it was, and he's telling them, hey, cast your net on the other side, on the right side of the boat. And again, a command that seems like, what is that? Why? Really, there's fish on that side of the boat, not this side. But nonetheless, they follow the instruction, and there's so much fish brought in that it was miraculous that the nets didn't even break. But then Scripture records and tells us, goes through the trouble of making it known that there were not 150 fish, not 152 or 154, but specifically 153 fish. The tendency is just to look at that as you skim through it and say, wow, that's a lot of fish, and move on. But we have to remember, again, one of the first rules in Bible college they teach you is the Word of God cannot mean something different today than it meant at the time it was written and in the setting and to the people to whom it was written. And, of course, this is entirely a Jewish-centric or centered Bible word. Everything, prophecy, is all centered around Israel. And so, therefore, we just can't even hope to begin to understand it until we see it through that lens. So we have to understand a couple other things before we can get to the meat, just in case this happens to be the first podcast that you've ever listened to. You have to understand that in Hebrew, every letter is made up of at least two other Hebrew letters, and every letter has a numeric value. It gets into what we call gematria, where words that are similar or have the same numeric value, you know, share meanings. So it gets pretty deep pretty quick if you think about, you know, the words on the page, right? It's words and letters within letters and numbers within numbers, and it's layer upon layer. And there's no wonder we will spend eternity learning and growing in Messiah and growing closer to Him. So back to the point of the 153 fish. We have to also now understand that Yeshua had mentioned a couple of times that, you know, he was there at that place at that time for the lost sheep of Israel. And yes, his ministry did extend and touch Gentiles, but that wasn't the point of his coming that time. It was for the Jews, right, to restore all things at that time, as far as that leg of the messianic journey. We'll put it to you that way. And this goes back to Hosea chapter 1 and verse 10. And paraphrasing, God is speaking through the prophet, saying that he will make the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as numerous as the sand grains on the seashore that cannot be numbered. The people who were called not his people anymore, you know, and he will make them, you know, the sons of the living God. B'nei Chayel, okay, or El Chai. And this is significant, right? Because what that amounts to, numerically speaking, is 153. So here, Yeshua is sending a message, a multi-layered message, but he's sending a message nonetheless to the disciples who had basically, you know, all but John had fled and deserted, and Peter denied him three times, and this just, you know, kind of ragtag group of men that failed on so many different points, just like you and I. Do, you know, they're no different. You know, you and I probably wouldn't have done any better. Or I know, speaking for myself, I wouldn't have done as well, maybe. But you know, we're talking about how making them fishers of men, because we have to remember also, not only did Hosea, you know, prophesy the destruction of the unified kingdom, and Jeremiah said in chapter 3, I believe it was, that God divorced the northern kingdom of Israel, and that the southern sister, Judah, was even more treacherous than her northern sister. So they were dispersed, they were in big trouble. But yet, through the death, burial, resurrection of Messiah, he not only reconciled Judah, but he was able to fulfill the law, right, about a divorced person being able to remarry, right? So the death of the bridegroom had occurred. So he was able to redeem the north. So this Hosea prophecy in 110 is coming back, that he's gathering his children again, and he is making them sons of the living God, because he is living. He forever will live. And his Talmudim, his disciples, his followers, that though they may fail and though they may struggle, he will make them fishers of men, and he will make them sons of God. And they did exactly that. They began to go out and reach the lost sheep of Israel with the gospel, the Besorah that Yeshua was indeed Mashiach, and all of the wonderful things that he had done and had instructed them, and they began to share them. And then obviously Paul and others then began to bring it to the Goyim, to the Gentiles as well. But the lesson of the 153, the 153 fish, isn't just random. It's beyond the fishers of men, right? Because the fishers of men, what are they doing? They're making B'nai Chayel. They're making sons, right? They're reproducing themselves, sons of the living God. They're discipling. That's the whole idea of discipling. We have a master that we learn from, but then we don't just take that information and that knowledge and sit on it, right? We take it and we reproduce it. We teach what we have been taught to others, making sons of the Most High, sons of the living God. That is the whole concept of making fishers of men. You and I need to be about the Father's business, and I encourage you to do so. We've got so many new things coming here at the Rock of Israel. If you're local, please come and join us in Hickory or Statesville. If you're not able to do that, follow us on our website, myroyc.org. Lots of new discipleship things coming here in the coming weeks, and I hope and I pray that this was a blessing for you. Until next time, God bless and shalom, shalom.
Thanks for learning with us today. For more information and resources, or to invite Rabbi Jeff to speak at your church or next event, call 1-828-201-2883. Once again, that's 1-828-201-2883. Or visit myroic.org. That's myroic.org. Shalom.